don't get frustrated if your mind wanders while you're doing it, right? So a lot of times athletes will try to listen to the script, but their mind will wander and they're like, oh, I didn't get fully immersed. Okay, take note, right? Mind wandered at 3 minutes and 37 seconds. What were you thinking about? What was going on, right? And then the next day you try again, right? And over time, you're able to start focusing more.
Hi, Tom. It's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show for the second time. And today we're talking imagery for Olympic weightlifting performance. But before we go into the woods, please briefly introduce yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me again. This is one of my favorite topics. I know when I had mentioned it the first time we recorded, we were like, oh, now we have to do a part two because it's a good topic for, especially for weightlifters and any athletes. Yeah, I'm Tom Smalley. I'm a certified mental performance consultant. I own my own private practice, struggle and strength performance, helping high performers of all sports be their best when their best is required. And so that's kind of, we believe that challenges are the catalyst for growth. And we like to show how that happens. There's a process to that. And it's through a lot of hard work, but mindset really does make a difference in high performance.
All right. And today we're covering one of the techniques, imagery. And let's go through some kind of definition so we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, totally. A good place to start is that mental imagery gets kind of misconstrued with visualization, right? So visualization, the idea of mental imagery is you're using all of your senses, right? So, and because we're using our senses, it creates a more real experience when we're practicing it. And so visualization only thinks of the visual aspect, right? And a sight, but mental imagery, we're trying to use the feel, the hearing, for some, like it could be the taste, it could be the kinesthetic awareness, right? So we're trying to bring all of those things in, right? And into this one script that we're building for mental imagery to practice. And so that's what mental imagery really is using all of your senses to experience and replicate a moment to reinforce better behaviors. And so, you know, I think the thing that people don't understand is there's different types, right? So there's two sections of mental imagery, and that's cognitive mental imagery and motivational. And so cognitive is going to be more about skill execution and strategy and tactical planning, right? And then the motivational aspect of imagery, that specific subtype, is more confidence, resilience based, seeing achievement, seeing you put success together, overcoming obstacles. So both are very beneficial. And I think, especially in weightlifting in this sport, I'd say both are equally beneficial. And when I have a weightlifter make a script, largely there's going to be some cognitive skill execution, mental imagery, and some motivational parts too.
Is there a framework and how to go about it? Because it's easy to say, oh, imagine with all your senses something that is beneficial for your performance. But for the person who has never done it, this is a huge leap to take, a huge gap to bridge. So how should we go about it?
Something I really like to emphasize is especially when I start working with a client that I identify maybe would benefit from mental imagery, is like, hey, this is not going to be like we create this mental imagery script, you read it, and you're going to be all great and everything's awesome and it's going to work immediately, right? This is just like a snatch or a clean and jerk, right? Or any sort of technique you learn in sport and a skill acquisition. It's a skill that you have to practice and acquire, right? The ability to actually use your senses in an imaginary experience, right? And so a lot of what I do is in my approach with my clients, I like to almost start with non-sports related imagery scripts. Like thinking of, like, for example, I use this with a quarterback I worked with. It was a script of him on the beach, but it was really just practicing using our senses in that actual experience, so that when we built his actual mental imagery script of the fourth quarter and leading a drive, he was actually able to know how to use his senses in there, right? Because using your senses in mental imagery is a skill you have to acquire over time. It's a thing, something you actually have to practice. So for a weightlifter, right, I might use a mental imagery script of, like, you know, you're outside at a park and you hear birds chirping or whatever it may be, right? And we might practice just using the senses. And then we have a rating scale of each sensory checklist and say, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest or 5 being the highest, how well did I use my hearing? How well did I use my kinesthetic, right? How well did I use my sight, right? And then we rate them. And then over time, as we keep practicing, the intention is to improve over time of being able to use those things better and better. But a lot of times, like, we won't even start with a mental imagery experience based in their sport, because if they don't have the skill to apply into that, then they're not going to receive the stimulus that they need from that.
All right. So the first step would be to try to recreate some familiar situation
where totally.
Is able to use and describe the senses they could experience in this situation. So that step.
Yeah.
Was step.
Yeah, definitely. So my first step usually is, you know, I like to ask them questions, right? About like, hey, what's something you're trying to work for? So identifying the goal behind the mental imagery first, right? So before you even dive into which experience you want to replicate, it's, hey, what are you working towards? What specific situation or performance would you like to mentally prepare for, right? And then if the example is stepping up to the bar confidently during my first snatch, right? So that's their goal. Then we go to step two, right? And it's selecting the imagery types, right? Checking the boxes that match the needs of the client, right? Is your script going to be more cognitive based, right? Cognitive specific, meaning skill execution, or cognitive general, meaning strategy and tactics. Usually in weightlifting, we're going to see cognitive specific, right? Skill execution is largely the main portion of the sport, right? You know, obviously the strength aspect is important too, and the mental aspect, but like skill execution, if you don't know how to do the lifts, we can't do them, right? So a lot of what we're going to see is skill execution and cognitive specific mental imagery. So we'll check that box, right? And then we start working on what that looks like. And then we think about, okay, do we want any of the motivational imagery too? Like, what personal goal are we striving for? Do we want to put ourselves in the situation of achieving it in detail? The podium, the handshake, the feeling of slamming the bar, right? Like, those things really reproduce that moment and make us actually have the same neurological response as if it was happening in real life. And so the more descriptive, the better, right? And so, you know, we dive into the which types of motivational imagery, right? So motivational specific, right? Could be that achieving the goal. Motivational general could be emotional control. Do you want to write in your mental imagery script? Do you want to maybe feel calm or focused or energized? What emotional state do you want to feel, right? Breathing, body language, heart rate. And then the motivational general mastery, right? It's what challenges might come up. Do you want to see yourself overcoming them, right? Picturing yourself staying composed, staying in control, right? Focusing on your breathing, all of those things. And then that's when we start, when we take those things, all those bullet notes that we took, then we start putting that script together.
All right. How do you decide which, because all of this sounds amazing. I want all of this, but probably I will not benefit from all of it equally because it would take me 3 hours to visualize the aspect. So how you go about choosing?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I think we usually ask ourselves when, what's important now? Like what's the most pressing challenge we're facing right now? And then we'll address that one. In the, like, what have we been struggling with the most? And that's the one we're going to attack with the mental imagery the most, right? So
right.
if it was, you know, this, the first, I tend to miss my first snatch. Okay, we're going to do one on the first snatch, and then we're going to master that one and really be super descriptive and super specific. And then once you start making your first snatches, you feel comfortable, then we can move on to another one. And then also as they get more competent, right, in that skill-based learning of mental imagery, you could have two, you know, I have some weightlifters that I work with that have one for their first snatch and one for their first clean and jerk, right? And then I have some that just have one for the overall meet day, right? And going into the meet and not actually doing the lifts, right? So that's more like motivational and arousal regulation. So it really differs and depends on what the client's needs are. And that's for myself as the CMPC and the client to decide, right? It's a collaborative approach. What do you feel like you really are missing? But I agree with you that, you know, all of it sounds great, but throwing everything at once is never the answer. I think in any time we're learning any skill, it's segmenting it and learning the process of it is going to be more, they're going to get more out of doing less way better than doing way more and doing it at a less degree, or like as less experience level.
All right. So we have some kind of structure and framework how to think about imagery. Could we maybe go through the example? Let's go with the first snatch. imagery. How, just an example, of course, it will not be personal. You know, we don't know why the person struggles right at the first snatch, or maybe they don't struggle, but they want to be less nervous for the
totally
person. How would you go about putting these elements of cognitive and motivational into this imagery?
Yeah, so essentially, you know, what I have them do, and, you know, I'm always happy to guide them through it as they're writing it, but I really like for them to sit down and think about that moment, right? So what I really have them do is, like, I'll have them actually have a checklist of all their sensory, right? So it'll go through visual, what you see, right? And it'll be a little table, right? Sense, visual, what you see, included question mark, and then auditory sounds, included question mark, right? And there'll be a little box to check, emotional, olfactory, or, you know, smells, taste, if relevant, obviously. Kinesthetic, is it included, right? So they have boxes to check as they're writing it. So it gives them a parameter of, like, oh, maybe I should add in something else about how the bar feels in my hand because I didn't get enough kinesthetic in there, right? So it reinforces, but just like when we used to write essays for college, like, you just do revisions and revisions. And then when we decide, okay, it's thorough enough, it's specific enough, then we can actually start. So some people like for me to record it and read it, and so they can listen to it. And some athletes like to record it themselves and listen to it. And then some just like to read it beforehand. But essentially, we try to have them write it. And usually when the first time they give it back, it's usually not descriptive enough. And that's the expectation. I really emphasize, like, hey, I want you to go overboard on description, right? I want it to be every detail possible, right? That you feel is important in that moment that you're expressing. So I think it comes with trial and error, and obviously having somebody that's educated and experienced like myself or another CMVC or sports psych, like, to really guide you through that kind of stuff. But I think really, like, I have my athletes set a timer, like, hey, here's 20 minutes. I want you to write down everything that comes to your mind about that moment. And then we'll figure out the details of where to piece them together later, right? But I also, you know, another strategy, if an athlete has really bad writer's block for mental imagery, is, hey, I want you to write 10 to 15 minutes of the best competition experience you ever had. And I want you to write as much detail as possible. Because if we write the best competition experience we ever had with detail, we're probably going to reinforce the best things possible, right? So that really helps get them, when you can relate it to a past experience that they had, it gets their mind flowing a little bit more. And because it's daunting to just get a piece of paper or notepad and just start writing about and trying to, like, understand how you should write it. But if I tell an athlete, hey, tell me about that awesome competition you had and where you thrived and you faced resilience and you overcame challenges, and give me as much detail as possible with these senses, they're usually like, okay, awesome. I get to talk about myself. I get to write about myself and relive this experience. That sounds great. So that is a really good way to get the mind flowing of ideas of what you would want in there. But yeah, it's a really good way to, one, reflect on what you, sometimes athletes realize, oh, this went really well, but this is actually something I want to improve on, right? And so it also brings in reflection, which I think is super powerful.
When you choose between cognitive and motivational, is there a balance you have to strike? Is it personal? How do you decide on that?
Really depending on the client. I think when they describe their problem, right? I get the yip, right? And I clark, or for example, I've used mental imagery for athletes that clark with cleans or snatches, right? They pull it and don't get underneath, right? In that aspect, we understand that, okay, there might be more of a motivational aspect of confidence getting under the bar, right? And it might be more beneficial to do it that way and add more of that in. There, it also could be said to be more cognitive because you want to produce more force and be conscious of that and experience that, right? So I think it's super dependent on the athlete. That's why, especially with weightlifting, I feel like it's really important to incorporate both. Because I think it proves very valuable to see to reimagine an experience of success, right? There's no better predictor for confidence than achievement, right? The reality is the more frequently you do something successfully, the more confident you're going to be, you're going to do it again, right? That's just human nature. But if we can do that in mental imagery, it's pretty beneficial, right? So I think, but then the other aspect is, like, I think there's a lot of benefit to when you're a new lifter, especially new lifters and new to a sport, cognitive mental imagery can be super beneficial to the learning process too.
It gives you opportunity to do what you want your body to do.
Right, right. It's reinforcing everything you're learning. And it sends the same neurotransmitters, right, that you get from doing it in person. So I think when we're thinking about like nerves for a competition, I do think motivational is super beneficial, especially with the aspect of like emphasizing the staying in control and breathing and stuff in the back room. I think that can be super beneficial when we're still learning the lifts and or maybe you're making technical changes. I think mental imagery, cognitive, can be more beneficial there in those instances because it's all about skill acquisition. And I think what's cool is it applies to every sport too, right? It's because every sport has a skill that's learned, right? But I think with weightlifting especially, right, such a skill-based sport that cognitive does prove to be very beneficial.
All right. In terms of motivational, could we talk a little bit more about that? How to calm nerves, how to feel confident on the platform, going to this first lift or going to the third one after two missed?
Yeah.
You know, just how to feel, how to use imagery to support these type of situations.
Yeah, definitely. So I think, you know, I had someone tell me once that as a practitioner, that they didn't use mental imagery with their clients because it could go negatively in their mind, right? And to me, that's avoidance of adversity, right? So the reality is we could do mental imagery and still fail, right? There's no doubt about that. But if we practice the skill of being confident in a situation, when we get into that situation, we're going to be more confident, right? And so I love using mental imagery because I think it reinforces the positive thing happening, right? If you train it right and develop the skill to fully immerse yourself in that experience, I think there's so many benefits to it. So I think knowing that, like, you know, setting the expectation of like, hey, this doesn't guarantee anything, but this is what this is going to guarantee is that you're going to be more confident on competition day, right? And you're going to be more prepared, right? And the second biggest predictor to confidence is preparation, right? So the more you prepare, the more confident you're going to be, right? And so I think right there, that tells me how valuable mental imagery is, especially from a motivational aspect, right? In terms of, you know, the details of what we include in motivational mental imagery, I've had athletes where it's more focused on staying emotionally in control, right, after a miss. So I actually have had athletes that aren't trying to avoid thinking about missing, right? It's more about, oh, I just missed. Now what, right? How am I going to respond? So, you know, to the practitioners, they get worried about maybe their clients or, you know, their athletes, it going south and then thinking about missing. Yeah, that's possible. But you also need to allow space for adversity to exist, right? We can't live in a make-believe land of things always going right. So allowing the emotions to be felt of, hey, I just missed. Okay, what's my plan now? And then using mental imagery to kind of curate your response to how you deal with missing a snatch or a clean and jerk, how you walk up to the stage on that third attempt, and even if you just missed your first two, right? I think those are super special situations that mental imagery is actually super beneficial for. And I mean, like, listen, I think, you know, another thing about self-doubt and maybe mental imagery going wrong is we don't want to suppress that, right? The more we suppress that, the more we're going to think about it, right? If I told somebody to not think of missing a snatch, what are they going to do? They're going to think of missing a snatch immediately because that's what's going to pop into their head. And so the more we suppress maybe failure or making mistakes, the more we're going to worry about it and think about it, right? And so I like to use the analogy of you're a bus driver, right? And all these thoughts that you're having are on the bus with you, right? And some of them are great thoughts of achieving success. And some of them are saying, hey, you're going to miss your first three attempts, right? Neither are going to, you know, obviously the good ones are going to benefit you more if you give more energy to them. And the, you know, the self-defeating ones, like the missing the snatches, are going to probably drag you down. But you've made space for them on your bus in the passenger seats, but you're the bus driver of your mind, right? And your emotional control. And so it's defining what your values are, who you want to show up as an athlete, And as outcome aside, who do you want to show up as an athlete? And then deciding to drive towards those values and not letting those passengers' thoughts, right, say, hey, stop here, pull over here, right? Because that's what those self-doubt thoughts are trying to do. They're trying to get you to stop the bus here, stop the bus here, right? But you're driving towards your values. And that's what mental imagery is reimagining experiences, right, that are values-based and in line with who you want to show up as in competition. So as long as we're making those experiences, especially in the motivational aspect, right, in line with our values of what we want to achieve and what our goals are and who we want to show up as, your mental imagery isn't going to go south.
I have two comments on it. One is that sounds like a focus on process and practicing who you want to be as a person in general, but specifically in relation to how you want to show up as an athlete. And the second thought is, what a cheat code for getting a good reps in, doing the best you can, performing the best you can. You can just repeat it again and again.
Right. There's no, right? It's not going to fatigue your body, right? So it's like, why wouldn't we use this, right? You're right. It's exactly what you say it is. It's a cheat code, right? And a lot of stuff with mindset and mental performance is a cheat code, right? Because that's the aspect of things that people aren't usually training diligently, right? We'll train our explosiveness and our strength and our technique and our mobility, right? Everybody will do extra body work, right? But like, how many are really doing serious, diligent, tracked mental work, right? Like, so like when I work with a client, it's all documented. It's all, there's a plan to things. It's not just, hey, we're going to meet once a week. Like it's, hey, you're going to go home with stuff. You're going to work on this, right? And I think, like you said, it's a cheat code to unlocking a new level to yourself. And so it's a no-brainer, right? But yeah, I think it really depends on the person, what you're going to put into the script, right? And, you know, I think you want it to be substantial enough where they're spending time really, like, if it's too short, it's very hard to get into a flow state in mental imagery, right? And get into a state of really being able to identify your senses. So I think there has to be some length to it too, like at least a couple paragraphs, right? And the details matter.
All right. Would you have any pointers on what to avoid when we create imagery script?
Yeah, I think the main thing is one, keep the main thing, right? So don't try to add things that are not relevant, right? So if your challenge you're facing is feeling too anxious for clean and jerks after snatches, like probably don't start in warmups, right? You could probably start after your last snatch or like, you know, so don't make it so long that like you're losing the idea of what you're actually trying to work on, right? So that's where that first step of like identifying the challenge you're working on is really crucial. And then I would say the second piece of advice would be keep a sensory checklist near you as you're writing.
All right, do we cover all the things we should be avoiding?
I think so. I would say something you should do would be like, make sure you're practicing it, right? So don't just write the script and then expect to be able to like immerse yourself in it like the day of competition, right? Because you want to use it before competition to be able to, you know, maybe the night before, the morning of, whatever it may be, at weigh-ins, right? You have this at your disposal, but don't expect yourself to be able to get into that if you haven't practiced it, right? It's like expecting yourself to go hit a PR clean and jerk when you haven't been training hard. So we have to reinforce these skills. So what I have my clients do is, hey, we're going to do a mental imagery script about training on Friday, your big Friday. And we're going to start preparing, like, let's apply it in training first so that when you get to competition, you're not lost.
Right. All right. So let's bring it all together now and let's build three main points about imagery for Olympic weightlifters.
Yeah. So I think the first main point that I would say is identifying what goal or challenge that you're trying to achieve or obstacle you're trying to get past, right? Or bounce back from, right? What are you trying to use mental imagery for, right? Identify the moment, identify the challenge. Then the second aspect would be obviously identifying what aspects of the subtypes of mental imagery that you're going to incorporate. Is it more cognitive? Is it more motivational? Is it a mix of both, right? And then writing your script, revising it, and really using that checklist of, oh, I need more hearing, I need more auditory, I need more kinesthetic. So those are the steps, right? And then the second aspect would be don't get frustrated if your mind wanders while you're doing it, right? So a lot of times athletes will try to listen to the script, but their mind will wander and they're like, oh, I didn't get fully immersed. Okay, take note, right? Mind wandered at 3 minutes and 37 seconds. What were you thinking about? What was going on, right? And then the next day you try again, right? And over time, you're able to start focusing more. Today in society, we have extremely short attention spans. Right. And it's just the reality of it because everything's at our fingertips. Right. And everything is there's a lot of instant gratification. So naturally, our mind is going to wander more. And the younger athletes, their mind wanders more. Right. So learning to stay this not only does mental imagery reinforce an experience of competition or training or whatever obstacle they're facing and getting past that, but they also are practicing focus. Right. And focus on a moment. So there's multiple benefits. But yeah, don't get frustrated. You know, I think that's I've seen that happen is and also don't get frustrated if you do mental imagery and then you don't have the success you want in competition, right? Like there's not a direct correlation between if you do this, you're guaranteed to PR or you're guaranteed to have success, right? This is just another tool in the toolbox that is obviously beneficial and to me is a cheat code to improving performance, but I don't want people to take this as like a, hey, I did my mental imagery every night and I didn't PR, right? And that doesn't mean to stop doing it after that happens, right? That just gives me more of a reason to do it. Oh, I still didn't get the hang. I did my mental imagery and I didn't have success that I wanted in competition, but I'm going to keep at it. Because if you keep at it, you're going to have success.
And also, if you've done the work right, something's changed within you. So you are a different person, whatever the outcome is. So
totally. I yes, 100%. I'm glad you said that because I actually had someone ask me, you know, I have a lot of athletes where, you know, necessarily they set a very large goal and I'm all for it. And maybe they don't reach that large goal along the journey. But then that doesn't mean that journey was all for nothing. I mean, look at all the amazing things. I always say, like, look at all the amazing things you accomplished along the way and look at who you became because of that goal you were chasing, right? So it doesn't mean necessarily that it was all for nothing. I think athletes tend to get in that all or nothing mindset. Like, I put in all this work and, you know, I didn't get what I was trying for out of it, so it wasn't worth it. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Two short questions to finish. The first one is, from your expertise, what would be the one mental skill you could give to all weightlifters if you could?
God, that's a great question. I think mindfulness would probably be my first. The ability to accept thoughts as thoughts and be able to diffuse them while in training or in competition and be able to control that arousal and emotional regulation. I think that would be my first one because it's super applicable. And then I think the second, well, that would be 1A, and then 1B would be mental imagery.
All right, then.
I would say like that, you know, the first one's is very applicable to in the moment. And then the second one is outside of the moment, something to practice.
Awesome. We cover all the aspects.
Yeah, all the spectrums. Yep.
All right. Where people can find you? Are you open for consultations? Can weightlifters reach out for your help?
Yeah, absolutely. More than welcome to. You can find me on Instagram at S2SFOF. And then my website is www.struggleintostrength.com. Yeah. So absolutely. Always happy to, my DMs are always open. Happy to answer questions. As you can see, I mean, I just talked about this for 50 minutes, so I'm a nerd for this stuff. I love this stuff so much, and I just really love helping athletes become better versions of themselves that they didn't really necessarily think they could become. So that, you know, that's really why I got into my work at the end of the day.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much for today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again.